We're going to come to God in prayer. We're going to pray this morning to our Father in heaven. So let's pray together, shall we? Father God, we are excited to be here in your house, and we have sung those songs to your glory, because Lord, as we come into your place, we come, Lord, with the attitude that we're here for you. And Lord, it's not just here as your people, but we are your people through the week as well. And so, Father, we just pray that as we gather together this morning, that we know, Lord, first of all, confess with our mouth that you are Lord. You're Lord of our life and Lord of this church. And so we rejoice this morning that we can come here and praise your name. Lord, we think of those who have health needs. And Lord, the list is extensive. And Lord, there may even be some that aren't on our list, on our bulletin, Lord. And we pray, Father, for each of those who are right now even suffering some form of illness. Lord, we lift them to you, and we pray, Father, for your protection. And we pray, Lord, for your healing in whatever form that is. And we pray, Lord, for those family members who are walking through also a difficult time when a loved one just isn't well. And so we lift all these needs before you, God, and pray for your blessing upon those families. Father, we think of those who are grieving, and we've heard already this morning about the Donst family as they're walking through a time of grief. Lord, we think of Carrie and Rhoda and their children, and Lord, we know that this was somewhat of a shock for them. And Lord, we think of the Springer family and as on the passing of Murray's mom, Gladys. And Lord, we pray for them. We lift them to you and pray that they would also be consoled and comforted today. And Lord, for the Strowman family and the sudden passing of Dan's cousin, Jenny. And Lord, we pray for them as well. And we pray, Lord, your comfort on each one of these families. And we pray, Lord, that our arms would be arms that would extend to them through your love. And may they feel your love as we console them. Lord, when we weep, you weep, and may we weep together, Lord, as we grieve together. Lord, we think of those who couldn't be here this morning. There are those, Lord, who are up at the quest right now, and they're worshiping you. And Father, we know that the work weekend was another great successful time, and Lord, we thank you for safety there, and we pray for those who are worshiping there this morning. Lord, that they would these are your people again, and we would rejoice as well. We miss them not being here, but I'm sure they miss us as well, Lord. So we pray your blessing upon them as we worship together in a sense, but at different places. So Lord, we lift to you this morning, and we pray, Father, for your word, that as we open it up, may your will be done and your purpose in our lives. Nothing more, nothing less. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. It is so good to come into the house of God. Amen? There are people up at the Quest, our camp, for the work weekend. And I was up there for the weekend, and I was in meetings yesterday for about, I don't know, probably 8 hours. So I got up and had a cup of coffee and kind of rustled some papers around, and then I went into the meeting at 10 o'clock and got out of the meeting, I forget what time, well, in time for lunch. I had lunch, went back into the meeting. I got out in time to make sure that everybody is having a coffee break and had a snack, and then, you know, made sure that everything was sorted out after that with various individuals, and because, you know, after a meeting, you want to have other meetings, and that was in time for supper. And so I had supper, and I don't know why everybody thought I just really didn't do much. I still can't figure that one out. It was quite extensive, I thought, but it's all right. You'll hear more about the work weekend next Sunday, because I want to make sure that they're all back here when I give you illustrations of the fact that I did work. So, but I'm in one piece. I haven't broken anything yet, and so I'm doing well. You can all go home now. I'm done. No, I'm just joking. We've been taking a moment to walk through the very power that lies within each of us through our relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for how God is shaping us through this adventure. And in your bulletin is a whole list of where we've come, where we're going. Each Sunday you can see in there where we're taking next week is the power of faith, and then power of captive thinking, and then power of people. And so I invite you to take that, put it on your fridge, and remind yourself of where you've come through this journey. But there's something that everyone needs and requires in order to make it through this life. In fact, I would dare say that the very something that is required is something that is less and less available in our society, in our culture, especially in the very place where it should be found. And that's encouragement. Dr. John Maxwell, my mentor in leadership, said it well when he said this. He said, encouragement is oxygen to the soul. Oxygen to the soul. You need oxygen in order to live. The soul needs encouragement in order to live. And you know, that's a true statement. Encouragement is not only valuable, encouragement is powerful. We have within us the very breath of words to really make someone feel worthy of who they are, or develop within them a crushed heart. And often, in our world, we choose the latter in order to get what we want in life. It's too often that we only want what we want in life, and encouragement is often left undone, or it's a means to an end for us to get what we want. It's like this beautiful Pickles cartoon. I invite you, Jeff, to put it up there. It's a great cartoon. I hope it's there. No, that's close, though. I think it's there somewhere. Is it there? Kate, is it? It's there, right? It's there, but it won't go, but it will come. I know it. You see, it's great. Why do you keep winking at me like that, Earl? Wink, 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 wink. You've all been there at the breakfast table. Your hubby's just kind of winking away. I'm not winking, he says. I'm twitching. I'm having eye spasms. I can fix that. I'll get you an eye patch, he says. And he's winking, winking, winking. It's still twitching. Well, that's okay. It's not bothering me anymore. Thanks, Jeff. That was great. So often that's how it is in our life. It doesn't matter. It's not bothering me anymore. It's okay. You're not around anymore. It's okay. You're not bothering. Turn to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1. I like this. We ought always, the Apostle Paul says, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers. I'm going to add sisters. And rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you're enduring. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just. Now, the Apostle Paul sets a wonderful example for us as believers. I mean, he demonstrates what the church should be. I mean, he not only told the Thessalonians how much he believed in them, he personally told them how they were doing. But there's a difference. When you personally deliver encouragement, it is powerful. So encouragement is powerful when it is personable. When it's personable. I remember going into one of those, it was a small community, we went into one of those fast food chains that has a large clown as their mascot. You can only imagine who I'm talking about. I mean, I had no other choice, which means that there was no Wendy's nearby. And I noticed on their price board, smiles, free. The person waited on me, and he was, you know, he was obviously, was having a great day, because he, what do you want? He was grouchy, and he looked pouting. To say the least, the last thing he wanted to do was smile. You know what happened. You know, I said, well, we'll have, you know, four burgers or whatever we were ordering and some fries. And then I said, I'll take one smile. So I ducked when he, no, I'm just kidding. And you know what? Nothing happened. He's still pouty. He turned around. And he brought along, I thought he was getting my order, he brought along the manager. And the manager walks over to the till and goes, and I was, nothing personal about it. I mean, while I was impressed, forced, you know, Paul told these Thessalonians, you know, I want to encourage you. I believe in you. You know, somebody, I was having a chat with somebody, we were just encouraging one, and somebody said, you know, smiles is the longest word that there is, because there's a mile between two S's. I like that. Paul told these Thessalonians, he said, you know, I'm encouraged with you, I believe in you, and there is such power in that personable encouragement. When was the last time that you believed in someone to the point where you encourage them? I think we find it really hard to believe in someone because our belief in God is usually lacking, and our belief in others lacks along with it. I've noticed this in my own life. There are those times where I find it hard to believe, which means to accept as true, which means to trust, which means to have faith in. There are times I find it hard to believe. Many times we find it difficult to believe in anyone, and truly I think it's because the church hasn't really excelled at being that place where we encourage. I want to take a poll this morning, just for fun. I'm so big into hand-raising, it's sickening. How many of you love it when people discourage you? Just put your hand up. You know, make you feel worthless. Judge you. Anyone? Just put your hand up. Come on, hold it high. You just love it when people make you feel worthless. Come on. I'm sorry. All right, how many of you love it when people encourage you, make you feel good about your heart, who you are? And let's see those hands. Some of you are holding your feet up too, but, you know, yeah, we love to be encouraged. We just enjoy being around an encouraging person. When we're down, we call them. When we need a lift, we seek them out. Encouragement, personable encouragement's powerful. I think we need to value people once again. My hobby is people. I love people. I mean, I learn every moment, everything I can from people. I've learned that at right moments, proper timing, God brings someone alongside of us for learning, for encouragement, but I've had to choose to be encouraged. I've had to choose to learn. Even through conflict. I've come to grow and I've come to appreciate people. Now, most of you are going to try that out on me. Truly, others have developed my faith. The example Paul, the Apostle Paul says is wonderful, it's glorious. You think of it, he says, we are bound, says the Amplified, we are bound in verse 3. We are compelled, obliged to thank God always for you. Say always. Always. What does that always mean? Always means for all time. It means forever. It means continuously. Church is the one place that you can enter and know that you will be accepted for who you are. Amen? I didn't hear you. Amen? Make encouragement personal this morning. And when you do that, it is powerful. Like when we hurt, we don't want advice. We want to be heard. Open your ears to people. Watch people. When you see somebody hurting, come alongside of them. Let your spouse talk. Let your kids open their mouths and speak their utterances that are so splendid sometimes. Like, Dad, I thought we couldn't eat chips in the living room, you know? What? Here. I think we need to stop our critique of the unique. Just because someone's not like us, God created each of us in his image, and yet we're all different and we're all unique and we all encompass the image of Christ. But you see, the one thing that has occurred in life that is so beautiful is that God has created each one of us unique and special so we can learn from one another. God loves you, and he created you, and you're unique, and you're special, and he gives you the ability to encourage others even through moments when you're tried, even through moments where you just don't feel like encouraging someone else. And usually those are the times you need to encourage somebody, is when you don't feel like it. Because you're never more like Christ when you build someone else up. When you make somebody feel special, because to God, they are special. And the Apostle Paul powerfully encouraged these Christians, but he did it personally. He told them how much he believed in them. When was the last time you told somebody, you know, I believe in you. I believe you can do this. I believe you can get this done. There's nothing better than to personally know that somebody believes in them. And there's nothing that deepens a relationship more than when you are personable with your encouragement. Well, encouragement should be personable, but it should also be pointed. You see, the Apostle Paul here in verse 4, therefore among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and about your faith and all the persecutions and trials you're enduring. Paul not only gets personal with this Christian bunch, but he told them specifically what he appreciated about them. You know, we go around and say, hey, be encouraged today. Okay. Hey, you know, you're great. All right? I used to do this with my children. I go and I say, I'm so proud of you. And tuck them in at night and say, proud of you. I'm so proud of you. Until my daughter Felicia said, why? You know? Be encouraged. Be excited. Hey, you're a great person. How? How am I great? Hey, you're wonderful. You really encouraged me. How? See? I got to tell you, I could go on and on about how I've been encouraged, how my family's been encouraged, how I've heard many moments of encouragement going on right here in this church. I love encouragement, but I love seeing it in action. Not just for me, but for other people. I love seeing, and you guys, you're getting it. I see you guys doing this all the time. You're out there and you're encouraging people. You're pointing to, you say, I just love the way you sang this morning. I love the way you played this morning. I love the way, you know? I got to tell you, it was wonderful. I could tell you many stories, but I got to tell you one story. One year we celebrated Mother's Day, and I think maybe some of you may have told you this, but we were celebrating Mother's Day with my mother and father present this one year. It was a wonderful time. And but we also celebrated my daughter's birthday, which wasn't far off. And it's actually in April, but my mom and dad were there, so we had a little cake and a little celebration for my daughter, and it was very special. And so then one afternoon, while my mom and dad were here, my mom said, you know, I want to go shopping. I want to buy Nathan a cake. And I said, you what? I'm going to get a birthday cake for Nathan. I said, uh-oh, mom's losing it. See, because it's May, and, you know, Nathan's birthday's in November. And so she said, I said, Mom, why now? I don't understand this. Why do you want to go buy a cake for Nathan now? It's May. His birthday's not till November. She said, I don't think we're going to be here in November. We got a busy plan. We're retired, you know. We're busy. And so she said, I want to go out, and I want to buy him a cake. And I said, why do you want to buy him a cake? She said, well, because I want him to feel special. I want him to know that he's special. Now that's very pointed. Her desire was to make my son feel special. So off the store we go, and $54 later, Mom had her cake. Now I know what you're thinking, a $54 cake is pretty expensive. But that's easy to figure out. Anybody who knows my mom, because we had to buy a box of chocolate bars, some licorice all sorts, some bridge mixture. My dad needed some tomatoes. I can't remember what all he wanted. And there's like two kids in a candy store picking things. My dad's, but we need, yeah, let's get raspberry jello. Oh, hey, do you like this? Pomegranate jello, whatever. You know, and they're putting it all in this cart, and the cart is full, and I'm saying, wait a minute, we came for a birthday cake. That's all we came for. Yeah, we know. But look at all the stuff we got, all these treasures. We're going to have so much fun. I thought, yeah, you guys are going to be up all night eating all that chocolate. But, so that we're at the checkout, and as we're going through the checkout, they have this, of course, the club card, which gives the name, you know, details of your life and blood type and everything on it as you hand it in. And the clerk behind the counter says to my dad, says, well, thank you, Mr. Seigers. Thank you. Let me put those in the cart for you. I'll get somebody to put those in the cart for you, Mr. Seigers, you know. And Mrs. Seigers, hope you have a great day, Mrs. Seigers, you know. Do you require some help out with these, Mrs. Seigers? Got home and my mom said, wasn't that amazing? How special. She knew our names. That lady was so marvelous. She just made my day. She made me feel like somebody. So I said, Mom, it's all on that card, every little detail. And I, no, it's not. No, my name's not on the card at all. I said, no, it's in the machine. It's not. No, it's not. See, it's not. See, I'll show you the card. She's digging in the purse. She pulls out the card. It's not on here. I said, Mom, it's on. Anyway, it was a losing battle. Mom said, I feel great because she made me feel like somebody. In the eyes of Christ, everybody is somebody. You know that? Everyone is valuable to God. And so I realized a long time ago that it's important to praise people for who they are, not what you want them to be. And God not only wants us to encourage one another, He commands us to do this. 1 Thessalonians, Paul talks about it. He says in that passage in chapter 5, he says, encourage one another and build each other up. Then he goes on in that chapter 5 and he says, encourage those who are timid. That means those who are shy, those who are weak. One of the things about encouragement is that we need to do it. Is that we need to talk now, not later. We need to stop talking about people and start talking to them. Fred has said, you know, I'm gonna do that someday. I'm gonna drop them a note, or I'm gonna make a call. All right, I gotta get a meal together. I'm gonna take it over. And, you know, it's not gonna happen unless you do it. And we get caught up into everything else, and we don't do it. Pick up the phone, buy some stamps, do whatever you need to do to encourage somebody, because there's such power in pointed encouragement, but only when it's done. Well, encouragement should be personable, it should be pointed, and it should be public. Look at this, verse 4 of 2 Thessalonians. Therefore, among God's churches we boast. You know what? You know what I love to do? I love to talk. I don't know if you've noticed it. But in particular, I love to talk about what God does in my life. I love God's stories. I love it when, you know, something amazing happens, how God puts things together in life. And I love to talk about my family. I love to embarrass them. And, you know, no, I don't. But I love to talk about them. And what amazing kids I have. What a godly spouse and mother that Joan is. And I love to talk about First Baptist and that I'm allowed to shepherd, that God allows me to shepherd you. And I love to do this publicly. I was sharing about our ministry here I was in Vancouver last week, a couple weeks ago at Canadian Baptist meetings, and I'm just, you know, I know it's uncommon, but I was just going like this, a mile a minute, talking about how great first is, all the wonderful things. Because they asked the question, and you know, it was a loaded question. They said, "Hey, Dev, how's everything going?" You know, that set me up. And then they said, "Well, are things slowing down for the summer?" You know, I say, "No, this is great. We got new exciting things happening, and everybody's in ministry, and man, it's terrific, and I love it." And I'm going on, I'm talking on and on and on and on. And then the area minister said, "You know, don't speak so loudly, Dev, because you'll have every pastor crawling to get into ministry at First PA." That was his way of saying, "Be quiet." You know, I love to talk about ministry. I can't explain to you how encouraged that I am to see God working here. Each one of you, you have such a valuable part in the plan of God. I mean, some of you excel at baking cookies, don't ask me. Some of you just are great at delivering groceries and bagging bread and committing to the youth group and leading a Bible study, singing a worship team. Financial whizzes, I can never understand you, but God bless you. There are those who just know how to smile, right? Not the, you know. How to enjoy life, how to be excited, how you are with your children. I mean, we all truly encompass the body of Christ. Amen? And we need each other. Don't think for one moment that we can go alone, because we can't. Charles Albert Tinley said this. He said, "When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. Just stand by me." Some people, that's all they want, is someone to just come along and stand by them. Not be critical, not judgmental, not, "I want you to do this, I want you to do that, I want you to do this." Just stand there. And for us to be true to our Savior, we have to love one another as He loves us, and stand beside one another when someone hurts, when someone grieves, when someone experiences joy, we should. When someone's hurting, we should hurt along with them. When someone's crying, we should lament along with them. What power there is in public encouragement. How do you talk about somebody when they're not there? Because you see, that's the public encouragement. There's nothing more powerful than the encouragement that you receive from somebody, but public encouragement, that's what the church needs to be. That's what the church is called to do. A place where you can be who you are and not be concerned about who you are, and when people walk out of here, they're not going to be talking about who you are. You need to be encouraged. The Apostle Paul told all these other churches how much he thought about the Thessalonians. He wasn't in their presence. He was in the presence of other churches, talking about great how the Thessalonians are. When was the last time you were having a conversation with somebody and you started talking about somebody else in a very positive way? When was the last time you stopped a critical spirit from invading you and began building up somebody else in a conversation? Tim McGraw said it well when he said, "If all my friends were to jump off a bridge, I wouldn't jump with them. I'd be at the bottom to catch them." How many of you are standing ready to catch your friends? What are you doing to encourage somebody? See, gossiping is easy. The world does that well. But if we fail in gossiping, it should be gossiping about the good in people. Because public support is such encouragement to the soul. Well, encouragement should be personable, it should be pointed, it should be public, and it should be purposeful. Look at this. Verse 5. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just. This is exciting. Listen, everyone. Everybody sitting in this room right now, every single one of you has a purpose. Each of us has been created by God for a purpose. And I'm excited about knowing that. Finding the purpose in other people is another story. But I believe that if we would just concentrate on being encouraging, it wouldn't take us long to discover the purpose that we have. And that is finding the purpose in other people. And I love doing this. I love seeing somebody just do something, and I go, that's it. That's where they fit. That's what they need to be doing. That's encouragement. And that's the goal that Paul was shooting for in the lives of the Thessalonians. Paul's goal was the motivation and the vindication of the Thessalonians. He wanted to give them not just encouragement, but a reason to be encouraged. How are you making other people feel their best? When people stand in front of you, when they turn around to leave, do they feel better about who they are? Because that's what purposeful encouragement is all about. I want you to close your Bibles because I want your full attention as I conclude with this story. And it'll show you the power of encouragement. It's about a teacher who had this class of students that they were a fairly good class of students, and it was time for them to learn practically how to live, not just being taught how to live. But so she had her students, as they came into the class the one day, she had her students, asked her students to list the names of all the other students in the classroom on two sheets of paper, leaving a space between each name. And then she told them, she said, think of the nicest thing that you could say about your fellow classmate. And just write it down. And it took the remainder of the entire class period to finish their assignment. The students left the room, and each student came forward, handed in the papers. So that Saturday, the teacher, she wrote down the name of each student, a separate piece of paper, and listed what everybody else had written about that individual. Came out to about two sheets of paper that each student would receive. And so on Monday, she gave each student his or her list. And before long, the entire class smiled and started making comments like, really? Oh, I never knew that I was like that. I never knew I meant anything to anybody. And I didn't know others liked me so much. And those are the comments that were kind of going on in the class time. Nobody ever mentioned those papers again in class. And that teacher never knew if they discussed them after class or with their parents. But to her, it didn't matter. The exercise was done. The practical side of life was accomplished. Students were happy with themselves, were happy with one another. And so that group of students, they graduated, they moved on. Several years later, one of the students, Mark, was killed in Vietnam. And that same teacher attended that funeral of Mark. And the church was packed, all his friends. And one by one, those who loved him took a last walk by the casket. And the teacher was the last one to make the journey past. And as she stood there, one of the soldiers who acted as pallbearer, he came up to her, put his arm around her and said, Were you Mark's math teacher? She said, yeah. He said, well, Mark talked about you a lot. Following the service, most of Mark's former classmates, and they went to the luncheon, and Mark's mom and dad were there, and they came up to the teacher, and Mark's father said, we want to show you something. Found on Mark when he was killed. We thought you might recognize it. Carefully, he handed her two worn pieces of notebook paper that had obviously been taped, folded, refolded many times. And the teacher knew without looking that the papers were the very ones on which she had listed all the good things each of Mark's classmates said about him. Thank you so much for doing this, Mark's mother said. As you can see, Mark treasured those pieces of paper. The story doesn't end there. Mark's former classmates started to gather around their old teacher, and Charlie smiled sheepishly and spoke first. I still have my list, It's in the top drawer of my desk at home," he said. Chuck's wife said, "Chuck asked me to put it in our wedding album." Marilyn said, "I have mine too. It's in my diary." Vicky, another classmate, reached into her pocketbook, took out her wallet, and showed her worn and frazzled list to the group. She said, "Carry this with me all the time." Vicky said, and without batting an eyelash, she continued, said, "I think that we all saved our lists." And that's when the teacher finally collapsed and cried. And she cried for Mark, and she cried for all his friends who would never see him again. We get so familiar with people, so familiar with living every day, that we forget one day life will end. And we don't know that when that one day will be. I encourage you. God commands you, but I encourage you to personally tell the people you love and care for that they're special, that they're important, that they have purpose. Be very pointed and be very public. Tell people. Encourage with power. And do it today. Let's pray. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you if you're an encourager, are you encouraging? I'm going to ask you, even if your gift is not encouragement, what you talk about when somebody's not there. What do you speak about when maybe those you haven't really spoken well of? What do you speak about when that person who hurt you isn't there? What do you speak about when you're away from the group? How do you talk about people? How are you smiling today? Remember, it's the longest word. How are you smiling at others? How are you lifting other people up? How are you building them? Maybe you never knew that there was such power in this, but there is. Maybe this morning you need to come to God. You need to say, "Lord, I want to start this right now today. I want to be like that teacher. I want to instill in others purpose." If you're coming to God that way today and saying, "I want to be one who uses the power of encouragement, Lord, you commanded it. I'm going to start it today." Just lift your hand. Lift your hand up. Lord bless you, 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 Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. God sees all those hands. Lord bless you, Lord bless you. The Lord bless you, Lord bless you. God sees all those hands. Lord bless you. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. God sees those hands. I'm going to start today, Lord. I'm going to start encouraging. I'm going to quit tearing down. I'm going to start encouraging. Lord bless you. Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. God sees those hands. Father, this morning, there's nothing better than a hug. There's nothing better, Lord, than a touch from you. And Lord, this morning you've touched our hearts. You have encouraged us, Lord, by giving your very life. We know, Lord, that encouragement's oxygen to the soul. We need it in order to live inside. Lord, may we be encouragers, mighty warriors of encouragement. Lord, you've said that heap coals of kindness upon their heads. When we want revenge, Lord, we're to heap coals of kindness. Lord, when we're embittered, we're to encourage. When we're hurt, we're to encourage. Father, make us into warriors of encouragement. May we use this power that you have given us in the tongue to lift other people up and build them up so that they know they have purpose. God, help us to do that as your people. Restore us, Lord, unto yourself so that we could be that kind of people. Forgive us when we failed you, Lord, in not being the encouragers we've needed to be. This is a new day for us, Lord. So we cry out to you and ask for your filling so we can accomplish your task among one another. And all God's people said, amen. I want you to stand up as the worship team comes. And I want you to walk around and encourage each other for just a moment. Blessings on you. I love you. I love your singing.